Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by just each day your name and your role with the show.
My name is Jade Jones. I play Belle in Only's Beauty and the Beast.
And my name is Evan Ruggiero, and I play the Beast in Only Theater's Beauty and the Beast.
Yes, and as they mentioned, it's Only Theater's Beauty and the Beast, the Disney version. It's coming there at Only Theater from now through January 2nd. Hey, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much
thank for you. Having me. Yeah, thank you for having us.
All right. So who wants to take, I mean, at this point, everybody, you know, is familiar with, you know, many versions of this tale, especially the Disney version, probably the most famous one. But someone hit us with the basic, you know, premise here, you know, explain, you know, the story real quick.
Go ahead, Evan.
Okay. So at the top of the show, we meet a young prince who is not a very nice person, and he is transformed into this hideous creature, this beast. And we then meet Belle, our female hero, and we go through this story with Belle, who then is out, you know, looking for her father after he's snatched up by the beast. And Belle and the Beast meet each other, and then the Beast, you know, keeps Belle in the castle, and they eventually start to they get to know each other, and the Beast becomes more human as he interacts with Belle. And, you know, he's never really spoken to a human in the last 10 years, and eventually they start to develop feelings for each other. And we have Gaston, the villain, and he's also in love with Belle, and the Beast and Gaston have it out at the end. And as the movie shows us, the Beast and Gaston fight, and right before the Beast dies, and then Belle says, "Oh my gosh, I love you," and then there's a whole transformation, and they live happily ever after. The Beast and Belle. That's kind of like, and that is the Sparkness version.
Yeah, thanks. That was a very succinct, comprehensive roundup. I appreciate it. And,
our show is a lot deeper than that, than the traditional Disney film. So I will let Jade.
I would say the synopsis is two outsiders, two people that their peers consider odd, meet and go on a journey together, and find home in each other and find love in each other. And a real testament to not judging a book by its cover.
Yes, because that book, in the book, there may be something there that wasn't there before. We never know.
There you go.
Remind us, we sort of alluded to it, but remind us some of the beloved songs here, because I think, of all the Disney movies, I feel like this is the one that most closely resembles a Broadway musical. Of course, it was, that whole period they call the Disney Renaissance, where, I guess in the late 80s, Disney Animation was actually like on the verge of bankruptcy. And they decided, with Menken and Ashman, they said, let's try to start making these things like musicals, Little Mermaid, and then this. So talk about, remind us some of the beloved songs here.
Yeah, well, of course, there's the first song, the top of the show number, Belle, which is, the song with all the townies, describing Belle and how she loves to read and she's always daydreaming and all that stuff. And everybody, loves the "I need six eggs" part.
Too expensive.
Uh-huh, yep. There's that, and then there's also the song that Evan sings so well. It's actually one of my favorite musical theater songs, "If I Can't Love Her," which is the closing of Act One. And then there's also "Home," which is a song that for a long time I didn't really connect with, but in our version, I really love. I love what we've done with it. And I actually shared my version of it the other day, and it's gone viral, like literally gone viral.
This morning, I was kind of like poking around, and I saw that somebody in China reposted it.
Wow. So.
Yeah, I've yeah. gotten, I had, I've gotten messages from people in Australia, on the West End, France, Scotland. I mean, the video that I posted myself has almost 40,000 views just on Instagram, and not to mention, and I just made a TikTok. I just made a TikTok like a week ago, and somebody posted that video, and it has, you know, over 20,000 views, something yeah. like that. So
only goes global.
Only truly went global with this one. International.
And which song was that? You said it was one of the new ones created for the stage version, right?
It's Home.
Yes.
It's called, I don't know, what was that created? That's not in the movie, is it? No.
I don't think yeah.
No. But it was also shared by Susan Egan, the original Belle. She shared it yesterday, and it's just so affirming that she told her followers to listen to my version of it, you know, especially since her version of it is the one that I know. You know, when I think of that song, I think of Susan Egan singing it. So, yeah.
Wow, that's really cool. Congrats on going viral there.
thank you.
Cool. And then obviously I assume we also get, you know, all, like, you know, Be Our Guest and all the other great numbers.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Of course.
Be Our Guest. Something there.
Oh, Gaston, the pub song.
Gaston, yep.
Yes. Hilarious song. And then of course the title song, as made famous by Angela Lansbury.
Yep.
Exactly.
And you've really never heard that song sang like the way our Mrs. Potts sings it. It's almost every night I'm brought to tears. I'm supposed to be like in utter like bliss during that moment, but almost every night I am brought to tears. It's just so authentic. Our entire show is so authentic and original and filled with so much heart from the people that Marsha cast, and yeah, it's great.
Awesome. Well, you mentioned your Mrs. Potts. You know, dote on your co-stars a little bit. You know, who's playing, you know, who's playing all the roles, and you know, what makes them such good co-stars?
We have Ayanna Blake playing Mrs. Potts. She's amazing. We have Bobby Smith playing Lumiere, who Bobby Smith is a DC legend. he is not only an amazing actor and singer, but just an incredible dancer, very talented, has been around the block, knows his everything. And it's truly like, he is Lumiere. When I heard he was playing Lumiere, I was like, nobody else could play this part. And I truly feel like I'm living my Disney fantasy with Bobby Smith as my Lumiere.
He is hilarious.
It's so incredible.
Who else, Evan?
Who are your some of your favorites?
We have Dylan Arredondo, who is playing Cogsworth, who I love sharing the stage with as well. I spend a lot of time with him on stage, as well as Bobby Smith, who plays Lumiere. So the three of us have a lot of fun up there. Michael Burrell plays Gaston, and we only get to share the stage at the end of the show when we're dueling it out. But Michael is a great guy, and I'm actually rooming with him. We are roommates, and you know, we get to spend a lot of time together and talk about the show and have fun. Who else?
We have Jess Ball, who plays the wardrobe, yep. is by far like one of the scene stealers of the show. She is just so, her comedic timing is spot on, and she also has an incredible voice.
Well, and also now you know, I'm gonna make you both dish on each other. You know why? why does he make such a good beast? Embarrass him a little bit.
Evan is truly the perfect beast. He brings so much humanity to this role. And when I look into his eyes, even past all the makeup that is required for the Beast, I can really...
I do my own makeup.
And he does his own makeup. He truly embodies the character in every way. And again, the authenticity that he brings to it is just incredible. And I mean, everything on stage that he does is great, but off stage, he's just such a great human and so supportive and has really been my rock in this journey. So
thank you.
Great. All right, Evan, your turn. Why is she such a good co-lead here?
I'm calling you Belle. Jade. Jade is so authentic in this role and beautiful playing Belle. And you know, we have never seen Belle played by a Black woman, you know, a plus size Black woman. And I am just so enamored in what Jade brings to this role and the beauty that comes out and hearing you sing and acting it and just being so truthful. And I love being in this moment with you on stage. And just I like locking eyes with you during Beauty and the Beast. And I'm just, I started to cry. I started to cry on Sunday show. And I asked you too. I said, oh my gosh, did you see me crying? I think the best thing is listening and watching the audience when you come out in that ball gown in the dress right before Beauty.
Yeah.
And just hearing, you know, somebody got me the other day and they just said, yes. And I lost it and people start cheering and what you're doing and, you know, teaching these young kids who are seeing the show for the first time and them looking up to you is so beautiful and so honest. And, you know, we look at this show of Beauty and the Beast and, you know, Jade said it in the beginning, you know, it's these two outsiders who find each other. And, you know, the original movie is this, you know, skinny white girl, you know, who's this brunette and, you know, this beast who at the end kind of becomes this, you know, able-bodied, you know, good looking guy. And I think what our production does is it goes way deeper than what the movie and what the original Broadway show was doing. You know, we actually, I feel like we're these two outsiders. I mean, I have one leg. And so, you know, getting to share the stage with somebody who, you know, feel, you know, who I feel like, okay, we weren't necessarily meant to play these roles, but we are so meant to play these roles. You know, it makes so much sense and we haven't changed a word of the text. And you know, going through those lines with you, Jade, and with the rest of this cast and singing these songs is very special and meaningful right now. So that was a
lot. Hey, no, it was a lot of gold if that's what you mean. That was very well put. You're making my job a lot easier. Well, cool. That's so great. And yes, you're right. It totally works with the story. Cool. Well, Jade mentioned that you do your own eye makeup there, Beast. Talk about what we see, you know, visually in terms of costumes and stuff, because I'm sure, you know, with this role getting to play the Beast, you know, it's got to be some really cool wardrobe.
Yes. Well, you talk, Evan, because
Well, and not just Beast, but, you know, all the Lumiere and Cogsworth, you know, all the costumes.
Yeah. So one of the cool things that Marcia, our director, and I, and also Ivania, our costume designer, got to talk about was how we are going to work in my prosthetic leg into this show. And I wanted to be very truthful with this. I didn't feel like it needed any gimmicks or anything like that. And, you know, I don't want to hide anything either. And so I used this wooden peg leg as my leg in the show. And then on my left foot, I have this kind of like this beast leg, this kind of boot that looks like a very furry beast leg with a hoof on it. So that's my lower half. And then on my, you know, up top, I have this long, you know, I have this long brown hair, you know, this really awesome wig. I have horns. I got to grow out my facial hair for this part, which I was kind of excited about. I've never really gotten to do that in a show. So I am incredibly hairy right now. And then my makeup that I get to do every night, you know, I put on my eyes and I put on my eyebrows and do my nose and all of that. The costumes are all original pieces, which is really cool because a lot of times with Beauty and the Beast, you know, people will, you know, get costumes rented out to them. So I think that there's a lot of originality in the show with that. You know, seeing all the characters come to life in their costumes, you know, and these new designs is exciting because somebody just said, I think that this is what this should look like in this production, and it's not going to be your traditional, you know, Beauty and the Beast costumes. Mm-hmm.
And I get to wear pants.
It's so amazing.
The quintessential blue dress has been replaced by a blue jumpsuit, which is far more comfortable for me to go trampling through the woods in, looking for my father. You know what I mean? So, you know, it makes sense that you have this girl who's brave and craves adventure. Why is she walking around in a tight little dress, you know?
Yeah, I mean, climbing little ladders in libraries to books and stuff. Come on. I mean,
need
more comfortable. Awesome. And then of course, I guess before we run the actual set design too, you know, what do we, when our listeners come to Olney Theater, what do we see visually in terms of, you know, recreating, you know, the Beast Castle or, you know, any of those cool kind of visuals?
Visually, I mean, the castle is stunning. I mean, you know, you're expecting to see a castle in Beauty and the Beast. And, you know, our production is no different in that area. It's stunning. We have a huge chandelier that is brought in. And it's as stunning as it is and as grand as it is, it's actually very minimal. And it kind of throws me for a loop sometimes how little we have to do to change the castle into the pub or to change the castle into now we're in the woods or now we're outside of Belle's house. It's all encompassed on this one set that Narelle designed. Yeah.
It's really cool. I like spending a lot of time on the set and in specific spots, a lot of, like, I have this lair up on the balcony. And so we don't actually have this, rose petal, you know, it's not really an object, like it's not an actual rose. We have, this stained glass window with rose petals. And as the show progresses, you see each light on the rose go out, which is really cool. And so it's right there in the center.
Oh, that's a cool way to do it. Yeah, that's different. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, and then there's a giant staircase. I think it may have like 15 or 17 steps, and that staircase actually can get retracted into the wall. So there's somebody backstage moving it, you know, for certain scenes. So when we go to the town where Belle lives, the stairs are gone. And then when we go to the castle, somebody pushes the stairs out. Or when we go to the pub, the stairs are gone. Mm-hmm. Same thing with like the forest, there are tree branches that get flown in. Again, in Belle's town, we have these little mini houses. Some of them get wheeled on. And then we have houses that come from the top that get flown in. So we're, you know, there's a lot of cool things that we're doing. By just having this one, set, you know, so like nothing's really
very, it's changed. Very conventional.
Fantastic. Well, it sounds like it's going to be a great show. But I guess before we run, speak directly to our listeners and say, you know, come on out, guys, you know, and, you know, it's been a long time you know, cooped up inside almost 2 years pandemic, but you know what, you know, tell, invite them out to Olney Theater.
Come on out and join us for Beauty and the Beast. It's a great show. You're going to have a lot of fun. You might get a little emotional. You're going to want to sing. You're definitely going to want to dance. You know, keep your mask on, bring your vaccination card.
And if you're feeling, you know, a little uncomfortable about being indoors and seeing a show, if you'd like to be more socially distanced, we do offer socially distanced seating in our mezzanine. So that is an option.
Yes. So please come out and celebrate the return of live theater with us.
Yeah.
Sounds great. Again, everyone, it's Disney's Beauty and the Beast at Olney Theater Center now through January 2nd. Hey, thanks. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Goodbye.